It's entertainment news time. Dean Richards is off, and from KTLA, our station in Los Angeles, and News Nation, it's Sam Rubin, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. Good morning, Sam. What's your entertainment headline today?
My entertainment headline today, Bob, good morning to you, is I went to the world premiere of Eternals, the new Marvel movie. This is the one directed by Chloe Zhao with Angelina Jolie. And I think they've got another big hit on their hands. Whether, you know, I'm not one of these Marvel people, but people enjoyed it last night, that's for sure.
And have you heard anything or seen anything about this new Munsters movie that Rob Zombie is putting together?
I'm not as plugged into the Munster scene as I normally would be. But I, you know, Rob Zombie has had considerable success as a film director, which is, you know, surprising to me in, you know, this sort of horror genre. So if he wants to tackle the Munsters, why not? One thing that's interesting is, and this is something I've talked about on television for a long time, this desire for what they call familiar IPs, titles that we all know, are being brought back to life, even if the titles are really dated. You and I know the Munsters, but there are a lot of people under X age who never heard of the Munsters.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people who are the primary moviegoers. So, you know, it's always interesting to me. You know, we were talking about Mayberry and Andy Griffith's show. You know, they'll try to reboot that. It's just any familiar title. Mm-hmm. And the thought being that it cuts through as opposed to all these new titles that we have to sort through.
A more familiar recent title, Mel Brooks' comedy, The History of the World, Part 1. And word is now that Hulu has ordered a series based on that comedy. And Mel Brooks, who's, I think, 95 now, will be among the producers of Part 2, an 8-episode variety series. That sounds intriguing, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And you know what's interesting is Mel Brooks has, this is sort of a melancholy story. Before Carl Reiner's death, Mel Brooks would come to Carl Reiner's house every night, and they would have dinner and watch a movie. And after Carl Reiner passed away, Mel Brooks continued to go to the house to visit with other staffers and family members for a while. This is a guy who still has an extraordinarily sharp mind. And so I think, you know, they're obviously using his name and that title to bring attention to it, but I actually think he'll genuinely be involved. This isn't just a placeholder thing.
You know, I saw some video, I forget where, of Mel Brooks when he would just be sitting in front of the TV with Carl Reiner and watching some movie or something. And, I mean, these two guys, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
It absolutely gets no better than that. One of the fondest memories I have, a friend of mine worked for Carl Reiner all the way up until the very end. And he, too, retained this incredible sharpness and great sense of humor. And, you know, we talk about some people who can't be replaced. And Carl Reiner, particularly when you think about the work on the Dick Van Dyke Show and other things that he's done, is certainly one of them. But they had this extraordinary friendship that kind of sustained them both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think elongated their lives.
Yeah, Carl Reiner was writing books pretty much until the day he died, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely prolific. And what's funny is his home, which was on Rodeo Drive, but not the commercial part people talk about, but in the flats of Beverly Hills, and I've been to that home on a couple of occasions, when you walked in the living room, it really looked like the living room of the Dick Van Dyke Show. And to a large degree, and people know this, Dick Van Dyke on that show was Carl Reiner.
Yep, absolutely. Sam, should I be watching Succession? I haven't seen any of it. I keep hearing it's great. Season 3 premiered Sunday night. I think it was the best premiere since HBO Max made its debut. Do you like it? Have you watched it?
You know what? I have watched it, and I watched that premiere. I'm not deeply immersed in Succession, but, you know, I think sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. And there was this great, you know, it was delayed by the pandemic. And so I'm watching the, you know, eagerly awaited season premiere. My wife walks in, sort of takes it in for about 10 minutes. She goes, Sam, it's just a bunch of rich people talking on the phone. and to a large degree, that's what it was. I mean, there are some very, very good performances. And if, you know, you're a media person, as I suspect both you and I might consider ourselves, you think this is a vague parallel as to what might have happened or be happening in the Murdoch family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I hear. All right. Well, I'll check with Mrs. Rubin before I start watching. But finally, Mel Gibson's going back to work. It's the John Wick series, right?
Okay, what was Sam Rubin just saying on WGN Radio on Bob Surratt's show 2 minutes ago? This idea about familiar titles. So that's why it's called the John Wick series, because we're all familiar with John Wick. And then how toxic or non-toxic is Mel Gibson? Obviously, this extraordinary track record, this big name, but there's a lot of baggage to Mel Gibson. And there, you know, some people are like, well, everybody deserves a second, third, or fourth chance. And others are like, everybody but him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be very interesting to see when push comes to shove, if that show goes to the air and actually goes to the air with Mel Gibson.
The Continental, it's called, the prequel to the Keanu Reeves film series, John Wick. So the insiders there in Hollywood, are they still down on Mel Gibson, Sam?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they are to a large degree. And I have a too long story to tell of a junket interview that I did with Mel Gibson. You can find this all online, where I essentially posed the question I just said to you. And I was like, some people are happy to have you come back, and some people say you should never come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can literally, you can see him sort of almost anger on the spot.
Hmm.
And it was this really, and then later he called me, we went out for lunch, he apologized, and, you know, this whole idea of sort of making amends.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, it's funny, and I was very persuaded, and then people said to me, well, you know, he's an actor. So it's a kind of a mixed bag. I don't know what to feel, but he has worked. I mean, he's definitely worked. He's gone behind the camera and done directing chores. He's certainly not banned by any means.
Yeah, I've heard there's definitely a good Mel and a bad Mel, and you never know what you're going to get. It's Sam Rubin, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. The natives are getting restless there, Sam. You better get back to work in Los Angeles.
I'll do just that, Bob. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you.
Bob Surratt. WGN.
Katie Couric's book, Going There, has been getting a lot of attention and a lot of criticism. She was on the Today Show. Savannah Guthrie interviewed her. Here's a little bit of what Katie had to say first about her relationship with female coworkers.
Openly about female mentorship, you said you had your own insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you felt like you had to protect your turf. Those were your words.
Yeah.
Are you, I mean, do you regret that now? I mean, what's your perspective on it now? You
yeah.
had said, I was less welcoming when charismatic female correspondents entered my sphere. There were only a few coveted spots for women. I felt like I had to protect my turf.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's brutally honest,
mm-hmm.
you know? I think that I have mentored scores of women, many of who still work on this show and in the control room. Hi, ladies. But, you know, I think that when there are very few jobs for women and men are making decisions not necessarily based on, you know, the right criteria, that sometimes you do get insecure and sometimes you do get territorial. I think it's human nature. I think anyone in a high-profile position, in a coveted spot, and I think even outside the TV industry, both women and men have felt that occasionally. I just was honest enough to admit it, I think.
And to be clear, did you ever actively try to sabotage another female
never,
on-air correspondent?
Never, never. I think I just wish that maybe I had extended myself more and shown people the ropes a little bit more. But I think when people are outwardly kind of vying for your job, it is hard to be generous.
Katie Couric was also asked about her relationship with Matt Lauer.
You know, that was really, really hard. And it took me a long time to process what was going on, because the side of Matt I knew was the side of Matt I think you all knew. He was kind and generous and considerate, a good colleague. And, you know, as I got more information and learned what was going on behind the scenes, it was really upsetting and disturbing. And I think then I did some of my own reporting. I talked to people. I really tried to excavate what had been going on. And, you know, it was really devastating, but also disgusting. And, you know, I think what I realized is there was a side of Matt I never really knew. And I tried to understand why he behaved the way he did and why he was so reckless and callous and honestly abusive to other women.
Were there things that you, in the course of writing this book, you looked back on, stories or memories that you came to see in a different light?
Well, you know, there's always gossip and television news. And I think there was gossip here and there about certain people. And, you know, I think it was a very permissive environment in the 90s. And I think permissive environments often result in serious transgressions.
Where does that relationship stand now?
We have no relationship.
Katie Couric on NBC with Savannah Guthrie today. One other entertainment note, Paul McCartney and Taylor Swift are going to induct newcomers into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame coming up on the 30th of this month. McCartney will give the presentation for Foo Fighters. Swift will induct Carole King and also perform some of her music along with Jennifer Hudson. Angela Bassett, who played Tina Turner in the movie What's Love Got to Do with It, will induct Tina Turner. That's going to be on television, too, later in November.